Hey guys, welcome to episode 2, part 2, and I hope you enjoy.
Take us away, Dizzy.
This is where it gets really, really hard because I have like 5 or 6 of them swirling around right now. But like my number 3, I would put... I would go with a movie called Licorice Pizza.
Wow, okay.
What? Oh, I got
okay, listen to this one.
That threw me off. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so the thing with this one, it's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. So if you know anything about Paul Thomas Anderson, he did There Will Be Blood with Daniel Day-Lewis. He did Boogie Nights that had Mark Wahlberg and Julianne Moore and Burt Reynolds, and you know, and then Magnolia, Punch Drunk Love, which had Adam Sandler in it. And he's got a few classics under his belt, but like There Will Be Blood and Boogie Nights, those are like his masterpieces. And
I've heard Boogie Nights. Okay.
He's truly one of the greatest directors of all time. But Licorice Pizza, I remember seeing that trailer and when I went to the movies one time, and it really, really got me because I really like movies about the 70s, but like set in California where, you know, they're just like, you know, cool hangout, you know what I'm saying, type of movies or whatever. But basically, the movie is about this this young kid. Like, he lives in the San Fernando Valley, and he's an actor, and the actor that plays him is Cooper Hoffman, who is Philip Seymour Hoffman's son. So he's playing this young actor, and he falls in love with this chick that's like 25 years old. He's 15. And basically, but it's a movie. It like I said, it's set in the 70s. It's during a different period, and it's just like a cool hangout type of movie. There's really no heavy plot. It's funny. It's really funny in a lot of places. It's just a nice feel good movie to watch. But it's definitely one of his best that he's ever made. And then the chick who plays the love interest, her name is Alana Haim. She's part of a band that has her two other sisters in there too. And this is her first movie role, and I was really impressed with what she did. And I think she's getting some awards buzz or whatever because she really knocked it out the park with this one. It's a cool hangout movie about, you know, young adults in the 70s, you know, just riding around, and it's a love story, it's a comedy, it's all that. Bradley Cooper's in it.
I love Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, you know, it's a fun movie to watch, but that came out like Christmas Eve. And so that's gonna be my number 3, and that was really tough because the other two that I had, it was just like, man. But it's a fun, relaxing movie to watch. So that's my number 3. And then I first saw the trailer. The other thing that sold me is that they played a David Bowie song, and I can't believe the name just kind of like left me right now, but they played a David Bowie song as like the music for the trailer. And I mean, the trailer just had me sold. Like the first time I saw it, I was like, yeah, I gotta check this out. So, but yeah, that's my number 3.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my number 3 is The Red Notice, a movie with The Rock, Gal Gadot, and Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, okay.
Big fan of the whole chemistry with The Rock and Ryan Reynolds. Didn't know that they would have one, but they work so well together. And Very funny movie. It actually had a pretty interesting twist at the end. And the action, the comedy, I think it was on the money. And if they make a sequel, I would watch it. But that's about it.
That's about it.
Dang, okay.
Okay. Well, my second one, it was just a toss up between these two movies. But, God, man, it's so hard. I'm going to have to give it to Shang-Chi because that movie.
Shang-Chi.
Yeah, Shang-Chi. There you go.
Okay.
I'll have to give it that because. I was just trying to say the name.
Yeah. Don't correct me.
No, I said I wasn't trying to correct you. I was just saying, trying to say the name.
Okay. But anyways, watch your mouth. Anyways, that's one of the movies that I'll watch multiple times. Like, the other movie was, of course, Suicide Squad. But Shang-Chi is one of the movies that I'll just watch multiple times. Yeah. I just love how like this the aesthetics and the the environments and how everything looked. Everything around that movie was just beautiful. Mm-hmm. The actor, I really love the actor. Like, he literally, like I don't know if y'all saw it, but like I think it was on Twitter or on Instagram. It might have been on Twitter, but he was like just heading up Marvel saying, "Hey, if y'all want to do a Chinese movie, put me in it." have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Ever seen Shang-Chi?
No, have you seen like him talking about him wanting to be part of like a Marvel movie with a Chinese character?
And who was this?
The actor who plays Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Simu Liu.
I think he was just only talking about Shang-Chi. Actually, I think he was only talking about Shang-Chi.
No, I think that was before. That was actually before. He was talking about like Marvel. Like,
I could have sworn he was like, "We should do a Shang-Chi movie." But
anyways, that movie just it caught my attention. I love how like he developed into getting the actual rings,
mm-hmm.
and the progression of like the character by itself. It was just amazing. Like, I there's so much to say about this movie, but it's just awesome.
Definitely in my top five MCU movies.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. All right, so we're doing number two. I would have to go with. Okay, I think I have to go with A Quiet Place Part 2.
Oh, okay. I still haven't seen that one. Damn it.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, and A Quiet Place Part 2, it did everything that I want a sequel to do, and it basically just made things more interesting. Because the first Quiet Place, I mean, I consider both of these movies to be classics, like, really. Because it's...
Wait, question. The dad's actually dead, right?
Huh?
I said the dad's actually dead, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He just appears in a flashback sequence in the beginning. But basically, A Quiet Place Part 1 and Part 2, I have to say, it's probably... Well, not probably. It's definitely one of the best, like, 1-2 punches in cinematic history to me. And you don't really get those often where you have, like, you know what I'm saying? Like you have the original Alien movie, right? And then you have Aliens. Mm-hmm. And both of those movies are, like, you know, major classics. But, like, Aliens really, like, upped everything when it came to... You know, suspense, and when it came to action and all that stuff. And Quiet Place Part 2, it definitely did that. And I was wondering how they were still going to keep some of the... Well, see, like, you know, like John Krasinski, he was such a great part in the first one.
Yeah, he was.
And now he's not. He's only in the flashback sequence in the beginning in Part 2. So I was just like, well, you know, how, you know what I'm saying? What's the dynamic going to be like now? And then they had, you know, Cillian Murphy's character come in, and you know, and you know, Emily Blunt, you know, she's a great actress too. So definitely not taking nothing away from her. Everybody was on their A game in it. But you learn more about these creatures or whatever, and you get to see more of like a character arc when it comes to their daughter who's like deaf. And then with Cillian Murphy, he definitely did an amazing job. But I mean, in terms of just like the horror and the, like, you know, the suspense, and then like the supporting characters, and you know, and just with the way it ended, it was very, very, you know, it was just like it really left you just being like, I definitely can't wait till the next one comes out, because you know, there's more of the story that has to be fleshed out. I think they're only gonna do one more, and I think that's gonna be it. But basically, you know, it did everything that I want a sequel to do. It kept me interested, it kept me more invested in the characters. And it just showed that there are, because see, the first movie was mainly about this particular family going through it. Now we get to see more of how the rest of the world outside of this family is dealing with it. So I can't wait to see what they're going to do in part three and how much they're going to expand that. So, but yeah, I give the number two spot to Quiet Place Part Two.
Good one.
That's solid. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
All right, my number two spot goes to a great movie, a great Western movie, The Harder They Fall. Freaking love that movie. The action, the sequences, definitely the acting. I loved Idris Elba. Can't even say his name.
You got it right.
All right, Idris Elba. I loved him. At first, when I watched the trailer, I thought he was a good guy, but turns out he was a bad guy. But I didn't mind it that much. I definitely liked the actual hero of the movie. All the characters. I can't remember his name, but the guy. No, that's not him either. Shoot.
Jonathan Majors.
I don't know his name. He's the guy who took out that one kid, if you watch the movie.
I've seen bits and pieces of it. I haven't watched
it. Oh, you haven't watched it yet? Oh.
I haven't watched the whole thing yet. But I mean, I'm still going to watch it. You really didn't spoil anything for me.
Yeah. You know. But yeah, that movie was great. And I loved a little tribute to Chadwick Boseman on the train.
To this day, that's sit with me right. Just like knowing that he's dead, that's just crazy.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, his death was a tough one, because like I had seen other things that he had been in before. You know what I'm saying? Before Black Panther. So I had already because he played James Brown, and he played and you know, and then he played Jackie Robinson in 42, yep. And I mean, and he knocked those roles. Out,
he's so
like,
good
all the way out. So I mean, so that was a tremendous loss. So yeah, I agree.
It hurts. But yeah, that movie was great. Definitely should get some Oscars or awards. JC, start us off with our first picks.
My first pick, of course, Justice League.
Choice.
It was a long, don't get me wrong, a long movie. Very long movie.
4 hours, right? Was it three?
Very much worth it. They did everything. Zach did so well in this movie. Just putting all the missing pieces that should have been in the first movie. Like, for example, let's start off with the villain. They did let's be real. They did horrible with that design. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Like, terrible. And so him just like changing it up and making him look so much better, I loved it, man.
They made Steppenwolf look
intimidating.
Intimidating.
Exactly.
In the Joss Whedon one, they were just whipping his ass just over and over and over again. And I was just like, first of all, y'all have Superman. Y'all have Wonder Woman. And y'all have Flash going up against this dude. it does not balance out at all.
Yeah. And like what I thought was really cool was seeing more dark side in the movie. That I really liked.
That was definitely a big plus for me.
Yeah,
I really love seeing Darkseid in the movie more. Like that, like because that for the most part that was not part of the first one, and like you had questions. We were just like, how did this happen? How did that happen? And I also liked with the Flash of like his extra scenes with. I'm trying to remember the one. I think it was near the end. And he was
when he goes into the Speed Force.
Yeah, when he went to the Speed Force, that was amazing.
Yeah,
that really I love seeing that scene so much.
And that really set up Flash to be like just one of the most powerful characters. Because the thing about Flash is that he can do so much.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Other than just being super fast, he can do a lot with that.
Right.
I like that they really highlighted that in that Justice League. So yeah, I agree.
Because I don't know. Like, I feel like in the first movie, like they didn't show him enough love of what he can actually do.
Yeah.
So like with this movie, they show him what he can actually do and how much he's literally like a very important character in the Justice League.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. Also with the Joker being in there. I mean, if I'm being honest, Jared Leto he did okay. Like with the screen time he had, he did okay.
Yeah.
I thought he did pretty good.
Yeah, because yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I'm sorry. Because the thing about his Joker, I never really thought that his Joker was terrible as people made it out to be. I think people more so said that because he was the next Joker after what Heath Ledger had done.
Yeah.
Which I consider Heath Ledger's performance as the Joker to be a top five role of all time. Because, yeah. I mean, I'm still mystified as to how you transform how you completely do a complete transformation into a character like that that to me, that will always rank as a top five performance in any movie of all time. I don't give a shit who you name, that will always be in there. Here's the other thing too, you know, and Joaquin Phoenix did an amazing job as well. And that really shows Joaquin's strength as an actor. Because for you to come after the legacy of Jack Nicholson, you know what I'm saying, Heath Ledger, right, and for you to put your own spin on it in that way, but also make people identify with you way more with this character than the previous interpretations, I mean, it goes without saying, you know, Joaquin Phoenix, he's a magician when it comes to what he does. So, but
I feel like people, like, don't really give Joaquin Phoenix enough credit because of, for him acting wise, I understand the movie and how people didn't like the movie because this isn't Joker, like this yada 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 mental illness, that's lame. But yeah, let's set that aside and let's just talk about his acting. Like he did a fantastic job in that movie. Let's be real. Absolutely. That's why I try to explain people, like, I mean, I get that, like, you didn't like the movie because it's not really Joker. I personally liked the movie. I thought it was a good movie.
Oh man, but it was. Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about film, if we're just talking about film, that's a great film. Right. I don't know Because I've heard people say that it, I've heard people say that it was bad. And whenever I ask them, I'm like, how is the movie bad? It really all comes down to this. It's not Heath Ledger's Joker.
Exactly.
And I'm like, y'all can't judge shit like that. Is it a good film or is it not? Is it written well or is it not? Was the last 30 minutes amazing or was it not? You know what I mean? Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it was. That's what it was for me. I'm like, how is the movie bad?
Exactly.
So
I mean, overall, I love the Justice League movie. And that's why I've made it my number one. I mean, just fantastic. Like, they literally fixed all the key parts of what was missing in the first one, and Zack Snyder did a fantastic job.
Sucks that we won't get the continuation, though.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck is leaving the room in the Flashpoint movie.
Yeah, I think Zack Snyder's Justice League, I'm glad that it came out, because if you're trying to put the whole DCEU canon together, I mean, well, especially for me, whenever I refer to Justice League, I'm always talking about Zack Snyder's version. I don't even know what the other one was. That one don't exist.
For real.
I'm always going to refer to Zack Snyder's stuff, because you know what I'm saying? So just leave that there. Forget the other shit happened. That's it. And, so for my number one, I didn't think it. Well, see, I've had four that I've been wrestling with, but I haven't. But I have to give it to this one, because it did exactly what I think cinema needs to do, regardless of how people might feel about these movies. But I gotta give it to Spider-Man: No Way Home.
Woo!
Okay.
Hell yeah, man.
and I know that, you know, people, you know, when it comes to comic book movies and all this stuff, right, people think that it should, because I was really wrestling between this one and Doom, because I love Doom. Visually, Doom to me is one of the greatest movies that we've had in recent memory in terms of visuals. I mean it was spectacular.
I gotta watch them.
You can say whatever you want to about the story, and I might agree with people when they say, you know, the story kind of dragged a little bit, whatever. Okay, I give you that. But visually it was incredible. But No Way Home does it for me, because it did one of the major things, and that is that it exceeded expectations. Because the buildup to this movie was so insane. There were YouTubers who were making videos, sometimes two videos a day, talking about spoilers, talking about, oh, this is going to be in here, that's going to be in here. It was a whole big thing for it. A little over a year, ever since they announced that they were gonna do another one, but the build up to it was insane. And first of all, no, and then another thing is, you have Spider-Man, right, who is, you know, arguably the most popular comic book character ever, alongside with Batman. And then, you know what I'm saying? So you have Spider-Man, a very, very relatable character in many, many ways. And then you have the inclusion of Doctor Strange, of course, but then just the narrative alone. And I know some people have said, well, you know, there's not really much of a plot to it, but I'm like, I don't think y'all understand what a plot is. The plot was Peter Parker trying to put his life back together after what Mysterio had done to him. Y'all are only saying that because it's a comic book movie. That's it.
Right.
But in time, I mean, but that's basically what the movie was about. But I mean, you had Alfred Molina, who, in my opinion, it doesn't seem like that much time has passed since he played Doc Ock in terms of the performance, because like it was like he just picked up right where he left off. And then, of course, Willem Dafoe as Green Goblin, when he went bad, like midway through, I mean, his performance was just outstanding.
That's some neat amazing trick.
Yeah, it went so bad. But then there were moments during the movie where I just got really, really nervous because I did not know what was going to happen. Because I always had this feeling like, you know, Peter Parker was going to have to go through some major shit in order for him to get where he needed to be as, you know, the hero Spider-Man that we're all like familiar with.
Right.
So I knew that he was going to be dealing with loss in a great way. But then, like, you have that mixed with, you know, Toby and Andrew coming on, and I got emotional when Toby and Andrew both showed up. I had no idea that it was going to hit me that way, but it did, especially when I saw Toby. because before then, I was always kind of like, well, you know, if they show up, okay, you know, that's cool, whatever. But then it just kind of hit me out of nowhere as I was watching it.
Damn.
And then like the ending scene, you know, with, you know, where he's saying his final goodbyes and all that. And there was just a lot that I liked about it. I mean, it really kept you guessing as to what was going to happen next. Like, often throughout the movie, it did not feel like its runtime. It's 2.5 hours, but it didn't feel like there was so much going on. Action sequences were great. I love the shot of all three Spider-Man just, you know, charging after, you know, Sandman, Electro, and Lizard. Like, I love that whole
thing. Oh yeah, that was a beautiful shot.
Heck yeah.
That was great. And you know what I'm saying? And of course, you know, I love Doctor Strange in the movie as well. I really love his humor. And plus, Doctor Strange has always been one of my favorite Marvel characters, like way before the MCU and all that stuff. So that was and then also, like, the very, very end of the movie, like the change in the musical score that they've been using in these Spider-Man movies, like when he's doing like his final swing off or whatever, he's going to like go answer to his tracker or whatever. That final swing off, like those shots, and plus with the music and everything behind it, it really, really leaves you very, very hopeful that, you know, even though he is really, really, he's suffered these really great losses, he can, you know, it has made him a much better hero, and he is better because of what he's gone through. So it's like, you know, he can finally be who he was always meant to be, basically. So I really, really like how it ended. The post-credit scene with Venom, that was cool too. It wasn't all that exciting to me, I guess. I don't know. I mean, he left a part of the symbiote behind, which is cool in itself, so that was cool. But then I was really excited about the Multiverse of Madness teaser at the end, because that has been, because that's the main one that I'm waiting for right there. That's the main one. So, but yeah, so No Way Home, that's my number one. And what I said earlier about it, what it needed to do in terms of cinema, like, it gave you all the stuff that you want to see in a movie. Like, it gave you the emotional part, it gave you the action sequences, it gave you the confusing narratives and stuff at times. You know, it really, really kept you engaged, and all the surprises and all that stuff. Like, it really did what it was supposed to do. And like I said, the biggest thing is that it exceeded expectations. So yeah.
Well, damn, what can I say?
That's your first number one.
My first pick is obviously Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah,
best
yeah,
movie
yeah,
of
yeah,
2021.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Beat that. Beat that.
Met the movie. Opened great. Definitely liked it. Definitely liked Daredevil. I loved the scenes with William Dafoe, especially the like heart beating scene when Spider-Man was experiencing the spider sense. In that moment, I was like, "What the heck is going on?"
Yeah.
And then, oh, and then the William Dafoe went, "Oh my god, that's amazing. Some neat trick." And then Norman's on sabbatical. Jeez Louise, no more darker half. Really think I'll let that happen? I couldn't get over that. I definitely loved how we see Peter Parker after Spider-Man Homecoming, Spider-Man Far From Home, how he almost has a crutch to lean on, if it's either Iron Man, Happy, or any other characters like Doctor Strange, or well, that's pretty much the only people he really has. Yeah. It's really nice to see that he doesn't have that anymore, especially at the end of the movie where we find out that he's actually alone. Like, he's really alone. I mean, like, he's worse than the other two Spider-Man. Like, he has nobody to talk to. The fight scenes were amazing, especially the first, like, actual physical fight with Green Goblin. That crap was, like, 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Especially with the power bomb and then the spine buster. Because, you know, wrestling fan over here again. Definitely love those moves. And I definitely felt it when Aunt May died.
that was tragic.
But there was that little awkward, like, 2 or 3 minutes when you're just like, is she dead? Is she not dead? And then she finally, you know, falls over. And that part was emotional. And then it made it worse when those freaking, like, SWAT team were shooting at him for no damn reason. It made it even more emotional, too, when you just see Happy just yelling for him to run. And then I think about Happy's reaction to Aunt May's death, and then blah, 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 blah. All the emotions kept on going. And then I tell you what, that this is the best cinematography shot of any Spider-Man movie ever. Was when he was sitting there, standing there in the rain, looking at the big screen, listening to J. Jonah Jameson talk crap about him. That crap was so emotional to me. Like, that scene was just so good. That is literally that scream Spider-Man. Scream Spider-Man, because Spider-Man's, he's a great hero. He does all he can, but he's always going to have that one hater. He's always going to have a bunch of people just talking down on him, or people who don't really get the full story and don't know how hard he works, how much he sacrifices. I mean, there was this one part in the comics when he is able to hold up the Daily Bugle, his number one hater, Daily Bugle. He was able to hold up one support beam, not like the whole building, but one support beam came down, and he went up there, not up there, he went there, holded it. He could have died, and he decided to do that for, you know, J. Jonah Jameson. And while he's doing it, J. Jonah Jameson is talking down to him, saying like he's a menace, while he's trying to save his own building. And he's literally... he's literally failing, but then Mary Jane's there to will him on, and then he's able to muster up the strength to grab the support beam that broke, and he puts it back on there, webs it up, is able to save the day. That screams, that speaks Spider-Man, the fact that he always is able to choose to do the right thing no matter what. And that every single time, he's always going to have the haters. He's always going to be talked down to be spit on, to be yelled at, you know, to be people to throw green paint at him. And the fact that at first I thought it was a little bit stupid, but then I understand it because it's Spider-Man. The fact that he was trying to help the villains out and actually cure them, at first I thought it was stupid, but until we got to the Aunt May part where she died, I really understand it, because it's the fact, you know, like she said, with great power comes great responsibility, and he had that power to fix them, and he decided to do it. And yeah,
because when it came to the Aunt May thing, like, yeah, you know, people can write, you know, what she said as far as like helping people off as like being as being stupid or whatever. But here's the thing though, it really is a testament to her character, because it's like, you know, there are some people who are helpful to a fault, and you know, sometimes you're just like, well, you know, should I really go that far to help this person or whatever it is, and you know what I'm saying, all that. And you know, I understand, you know, the whole idea of, you know, you can help somebody, but then also, you know, don't let yourself get so caught up in what you're doing for this person that you completely, you know, lose yourself. I mean, I totally understand that. But I think, you know, she ended up where she is because, you know, she was a helpful person to a fault. And honestly though, I really wouldn't charge that against her. Not saying that you are or whatever,
yeah.
But it's like, you know, there are some people who are willing to go right to the end to help people, you know what I'm saying? And not everybody is like that. You know what I'm saying? It's the reason why, you know, we have nurses and people who work in nursing homes and different things like that. They're willing to do certain jobs that most of us are not willing to do. And whatever Aunt May was willing to do for other people, that was her thing, you know. And I guess she tried to pass that off to Peter, but you know, I guess one of the things that Peter probably realized, this wasn't in the movie or anything, but it's like, you know, he realized that Aunt May was helpful to a fault, but he's also realizing, like, you know, you just can't help everybody. And you know, she basically died doing what she thought was, you know what I'm saying, what she thought was the right thing, basically. So, but there's also a lesson in that too, you know. If you're trying to be a hero to everybody, you know, you just can't, you know what I'm saying, you just can't help everybody, or not every situation is good to let yourself get so involved in, you know. I don't know.
Damn, Dizzy.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I just,
you're taking my thunder here, man.
I'm not trying to, but you know, because even after seeing it, I just, you know, it really made me think, because it reminds me of certain people in my family, you know, just like,
mm-hmm.
You know, people, you know, some of us are just helpful to a fault, and sometimes we end up losing a whole lot trying to do that for people, and you really don't know why, but some people just have it in their heart to do that. I don't know. I think it's an admirable thing. It might be stupid, but I admire that in anybody, so I don't know.
Definitely. But as I was saying, you know, well, damn, it's hard to even say what I was saying, because you sort of said what I was saying. But damn,
my bad.
Damn, Dizzy. Like, yeah, but you know, because you know, he had the power to cure them, and he did it.
Yeah.
And it was great to see, you know, after they fought and after they fought like the first time, he was done with it. You know, he gave up. Even though what Aunt May said, because when she died, he was at the end where he gave up, and he probably just thought, you know, even though he loved her, he probably thought she was a bit foolish and a bit ridiculous for going to that way and still not damning them or not saying go get vengeance or blah 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 while she was dying. Instead, she told him, you know, we're great power comes great responsibility. We help people. And it was great to see, you know, my childhood hero, Tobey Maguire, come back as Spider-Man. And it was great to see the best Spider-Man, in my opinion, the best Spider-Man ever, Andrew Garfield, come back. And I'm not saying that because of No Way Home, because I thought he was the best before anyways. Tell that to all the bandwagons out there.
I'm glad you said that, because there's a lot of them out there, and it's no slight to Andrew Garfield. I thought he was a great Spider-Man. It's just
the movies, the writing was trash.
His movies weren't good.
But man, when Andrew came in there the first time we saw him, he stole the show. the little him and MJ going back and forth was freaking comedy gold. And then the little moment of like when you see Tobey Maguire walk in after like first time seeing him as Peter Parker in like what, for 14-15 years, was definitely like, there's my hero, there's my childhood hero, there's the Spider-Man that I would go to like Sunday school, stacks chairs in a line, act like they're a train, and go in front of them and act like I'm stopping a train like Spider-Man. I mean,
you went all out, huh?
Yeah. and I was being extra too. I would do the whole grunts and yelling. I got in trouble sometimes, but seeing him just walk in there, and you know, time has done a number on him. I mean, you see that he's old. The actor, you know, Tobey Maguire himself, he's gotten old, like, and it shows that, damn, I've gotten old too. I mean, I'm not as old as him, but you know, it shows that, you know, me growing up with him, it's like I'm getting old too, and eventually I'm gonna be his age at that time. And I'm going to be looking back at moments like this, the moments in the movie, and like, wow, I'm glad I got to see this in my lifetime. I'm glad I got to experience this in my lifetime. And then I'm also glad that, I mean, my kids won't experience the same way I did, but I'm going to get to show them how my childhood was, like what I grew up on. Because the first Spider-Man I'm going to show them is Tobey Maguire. I'll tell you that right now.
I kind of feel like you have to, because you know, he was the first one.
He's the Spider-Man to me, you know.
Yeah.
But and another emotional, man, the emotional scene when they actually find him, they find Peter Parker, and he just looks defeated. I mean, he's just done, and his two friends they comfort him. And it's just so emotional. And then that scene when you just see Andrew and Toby on top of, like, oh my god. Like, I'm so glad that they actually made this happen.
You know, it's funny, I kind of wish Toby was gonna be like, you're gonna cry.
Stop.
Just for the one time.
No,
you gonna cry, little Gamma Jr.? But and then he's just defeated, and he's telling him, this is y'all's problem. I'm sending y'all home. I'm sorry I dragged you into this, blah, 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 blah. And then he's going to press the button, but Mary Jane, who loves him, or MJ, sorry, whatever, Michelle Jones, whatever. Stupid. She holds it back from him, and then it's just like, freaking listen to him, you know. And then first thing when he goes, like, you don't know how I'm feeling, to Andrew Garfield, I'm like, dude, he doesn't know how you're feeling, come on now. You should get slapped for that.
Well, I mean, hell, he didn't know shit.
I know, but you know what I mean. Love of his life died right in his arms, man. And the fact that I feel like, I don't know if a lot of people caught on this, but the whole premise of Spider-Man, like, pulling his punches is a big thing in his character. It's a big thing in his character. I don't know if a lot of people know that, because Spider-Man is known for pulling his punches. It's the big thing about him. It's the fact that he can literally punch someone's head off, but he doesn't use all his strength. He can kill, he can one-shot Dr. Octopus if he wanted to, but he doesn't. It's the fact that it goes back to the what great power comes great responsibility. He's not gonna tear all these people's heads off and all that stuff because he's a good person. He's a hero. And it really hit me hard when Andrew Garfield was like, I started to not pull my punches. And when people heard that, I feel like they didn't get the same effect that I got. I was like, oh my god, that means he's probably really freaking hurt people or even killed people as well.
Yeah, Andrew had a lot of really good, he had a lot of really good moments in this. And you know, it's like when people, you know, it's when people say, you know, they would like to see an amazing Spider-Man 3. And when I first heard that, I was like, I think that ship has sailed and all that. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they need to go back to that. I mean, you know, if he keeps appearing in the MCU, you know, I'll definitely take that. But if they're going to make a third one, then they need to go all out for it, because the first two, like I said, he was great. But then the movies,
they need to let MCU take over for that one, man.
Yeah.
The Kevin Feige needs to, if they make a third one, Kevin Feige needs to be there.
I agree. The writing was not as great. So if they do go with this third one, they need to go all in. They need to make sure this is a great one.
To be honest, what I think they should really do is they should make Andrew Garfield the Spider-Man of the their little Sony-verse for, the Spider-Man for Venom, the Spider-Man for Morbius, and so on. Because they're also making, like, a Black Cat movie, and then I forgot his name. Kraven the Hunter movie as well. And I'll be pretty stoked if they actually bring Andrew back and he's like the Spider-Man for that universe. There's already rumors that he might be getting a after credit scene for Morbius, but
you think that's why they pushed it back?
Yeah, I think that too, to reshoot it, to actually put that in there. But I think because
Morbius probably wouldn't be any good without that.
For real. It's the same thing with Venom 2 as well. I mean, it was
listen, no shot to the Morbius character, because I actually like the character. It's just that the trailers did not well up any sort of excitement within me about seeing that, and I was just like, I'm not interested in seeing this. I probably will go see it anyway, but
yeah, I'm gonna go see it.
But here's the thing too.
I'm not going on day one though. I probably won't be able to go on day one.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm probably really gonna see it when it drops.
I'm sorry.
I'm not gonna see it in the theater. I'm gonna be honest.
Damn.
Okay, so you're not that much different from how I feel. I mean, I'll still go see it, but I mean, I'm not gonna be like, I ain't gonna be running to it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it's
right.
Just, it's one of those. So, hey.
Where was I? To talk about Andrew Garfield, that moment when, you know, these two Spider-Men who have more experience than Tom Holland Spider-Man, you know, they're giving their, you know, their wisdom to him, and that we know how you feel. And Andrew, going back to Andrew, like, he doesn't want to see Tom Holland Spider-Man become him and how he's been in his universe right now. And if we do get a third one, I'm kind of scared to see what he has done, like, scared for him, like, if he's made a mistake and he's in trouble in his universe. But then, you know, they will him up, and they have that awesome scene in the school lab when they start making their cures, for instance. We're definitely getting some teases for, you know, maybe the Hobgoblin for Ned, you know, with the whole my best friend tried to kill me and he died in my arms, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
and he knows magic, apparently. And you know, he had a cape on. And then, you know, like the final battle scene with all of them together, and their little talking about their villains and all that back and forth, and this was pretty cool. It seemed like they got some pretty good chemistry, and I would like to see them again.
Electro was amazing.
Yeah. Definitely. Jamie Foxx really went in on this movie as well. Let's not deny that. And like you said with Dr. Octopus, great as well. He literally just he picked off where he left off. And I believe same team with William Dafoe, he picked up where he left off as well. From all Tom Holland's movies, with his particular fight scenes, definitely the most brutal in this movie, especially when he had his rematch with the Green Goblin. That crap was emotional and like so serious to me.
Especially in this one moment. And I feel like we can't forget to mention this while we're mentioning everything else. One of the moments that I got emotional in was when Andrew saved MJ. Like that was
a chance.
Yeah.
That right there, I was just
getting redemption.
That tore me up. I was like, dang, man.
I remember when that scene happened, I started thinking about it. I was just like, damn, man. Like, that was his MJ. Like, that, man, that was just rough for me. I started getting teary-eyed a little bit during that scene.
I got teary-eyed a few times throughout this thing. I really did.
Right.
I did. I'm not even gonna lie about it. I really did.
But man, those, the punches and the strikes, the Green Goblin, I feel like you could really feel every single one. And like his anger with every punch as well. And then he really just did a Spider-Man PS4 finisher on him too.
Yeah.
JC, Green Goblin saw the triangle in the circle above him.
Yep. Clicked it right there immediately.
But man, and then when he picks up the glider, and then it looks like he's just gonna go back on everything he just said. I mean, because he, you know, acted like he wanted to help him, but I was like, is he actually about to kill him? And then, you know, my hero comes to save him, you know, to save
Toby.
Yeah, Toby comes to save Tom. And that's the way I see it as, because, you know, if he went down that road, he wouldn't have never came back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he catches the glider without even with the straightest face ever, man. Hey, the people who think Tom Holland's the strongest Spider-Man, whatever. No. I'm sorry. Toby's the strongest Spider-Man, and I'm not saying it being biased. Like, look back at that scene. That is a blood-lusted Peter Parker, and he was using his almost damn near all his strength, and then Toby was like, is that it? Like, even after he catched it, he pushed it again, and he still, is that it? Like, Toby is the strongest one.
I would agree, but then also the other thing to keep in mind too is that, you know, Even though Tom Holland's been in the MCU for like 5 years, it's still the beginning for him in terms of just classic Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing about it is, like, I mean, going back over to the DC side real quick, I don't know if y'all ever saw Superman Returns.
Was that the one that came in like the 2000s, or is that like the older ones?
That was in 2006. That was when Kevin Spacey would play Lex Luthor and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That was the strongest I've ever seen Spider-Man in a film. Because I'm gonna tell you something. I don't know any other Spider-Man that has caught a airplane a Boeing 77.
Talking about Superman or Spider-Man?
It's Superman.
Superman. You were saying Spider-Man.
Oh, my bad. My bad. But I've never seen Superman catch an airplane that was like falling to earth and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen another Superman do that. Superman, that movie was crazy, crazy strong.
Yeah, and, I mean, he picked up a whole freaking island. It was a kryptonite as well.
Yeah. A whole kryptonite island at that. But like, Superman was already, you know what I'm saying, fully formed by that period. And I think that with Tom Holland, you know, I think he's done a great job so far. The thing about it though is that it's still just the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because really this Spider-Man trilogy is basically his origin story.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, this new trilogy, or however many films we're going to get from now on, we're really going to see him at the height of his powers. It's just like with Doctor Strange. Like, we haven't seen what Doctor Strange can, like, really, really do just yet.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, the What If episode was just like a taste, you know what I'm saying, was a taste of that. Because, I mean, literally, Doctor Strange was protecting everybody against Ultron. Yeah. In that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and then also him possibly fighting Wanda, you know what I'm saying? Like, you would have to be at a level of just, like, you know, incredible power in order to deal with what you got coming up. So with Tom Holland, I mean, here's the thing. As of right now, yes, Tobey Maguire is the strongest Spider-Man. But I always say, you know, I have to kind of wait and see what they're going to do with Tom Holland. You know what I'm saying? I have to kind of wait and see what he's going to do at the end of his run. But you're right. As of right now, Tobey Maguire is the strongest one. No doubt.
Amen. And I kind of feel like it was a little, I don't know, I feel like this was kind of like a slap in the face, but...
Oh, here we go.
No, it's just... when they just stabbed the Toby, and it was just like, nothing really happened. It was like, you thought we killed him, blah, blah, blah. I thought it was a little bit stupid, but...
Look. That's the shit that you need. That's the stuff that you need right there, because it got you worried for a second, though, didn't it?
Hell yeah, it got me worried for a second. I jumped out of my seat.
Exactly. So my thing is, if it didn't make you feel like that, you know what I'm saying?
But what I'm saying is that it was like a joke. You know what I mean? Because then he's like, I've been stabbed before, blah, blah, blah. I was like, really?
Yeah, but see, that was the comedic relief that you needed after a shock like that. Because when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, they did it. You know what I'm saying? That's messed up. I can't believe they did that. But then...
And damn, hit Toby's face too was so good as well when he got stabbed.
Yeah, I was like, man, they really went there. But no, he didn't actually die. So.
Yeah, but thank God. I mean, my eyes were starting to water, and then once I was like, is he dead or not dead? And then it started to calm down. But
honestly, while I was watching that scene, I was starting to get pissed off. I was like, you're really gonna bring him out on this movie?
You're gonna bring him back just to kill him?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, really?
But you know, let's just say we can't deny that Tom Holland had a little bit of still anger when he stabbed that freaking antidote. He said that hard as hell, man.
Yeah,
but you know, he cures Green Goblin, and then the ultimate sacrifice happens. This is Tom Holland Spider-Man's big moment of the film, really, to me, is when he literally makes a sacrifice and tells Doctor Strange, don't make everyone forget Peter Parker, Spider-Man. Make everyone forget Peter Parker.
Yeah.
That was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. It would be as if you never existed.
Yeah, that right there, I was like, man. Because, you know, but see, that's the reason why I think, and you know, so you might disagree with this now, but they're really setting him up and this is just my personal opinion, but with the amount of loss that he had in this one, you can't tell me that he is not being set up to be the best Spider-Man so far.
And I'm basing
that on what he actually had to go through to get there, because as one of you mentioned earlier, he doesn't have anybody. See, Tobey Maguire, he still had Aunt May, you know what I'm saying? He still had Mary Jane, he still had Harry to some extent. Andrew Garfield still had Aunt May, but Tom Holland doesn't have nobody.
And then
knowing that you can't go back to high school and you have to get your GED, then you have to try to find a job, now you moved into this apartment, like his whole entire life has been turned around, but he's still dedicated to being a superhero. It's like, you know, he finally understands what his mission is now. So,
I just thought about, since he's like, he doesn't exist at all, how will he even be able to get a job? He doesn't have a birth certificate.
We don't need to talk about that.
Well, actually, I'm pretty sure all the information still exists. It's just the fact that what someone explained on YouTube is that everyone's just going to have like little like missing pieces to their memory, you know? And at the end of the day, if he goes to, you know, apply for anything, they'll just, you can still look him up in the system. I'm pretty sure all the stuff will still be there. It's not technology or like files, it's people's memory. That's all it is.
Yeah. He's just an ordinary person now, just like, you know what I'm saying, just like you and me, minus, you know, the powers and everything. But it's like nobody knows that he is Spider-Man. I guess I've thought a lot about that too. I'm like, so that spell, what does it do to this person? What does it do to that person? Like, you know, do they still have some? Because
they definitely answered that, in my opinion, they answered that with the happy scene, because I thought that for some, I thought like he would at least know that he was was Aunt May's nephew. And then when he came up there and just be like, how'd you know her? That really synced in with me. I was like, damn, nobody knows who he is. I was like, geez, this guy is really alone.
Well, I guess it's in the sense that, you know, all the people that really meant something to Peter Parker's life, I think they... Because here's the thing. People who don't know who Peter Parker is, it really doesn't matter to them anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think that mainly pertains to the people that actually mean something to Peter Parker's life in a personal way. And I guess that's just the spell's way of protecting, you know what I'm saying, of protecting those people.
Yeah.
I guess. Because to normal, everyday common folk, they don't know who Peter Parker really is, so for them it really doesn't matter. But to anybody who has like any sort of like any kind of relationship, acquaintance or whatever it is, they lose their memory of him. So I mean, I guess it makes sense in that way.
Yeah, definitely. But with Tom Holland Spider-Man, at the end of the movie, he's all alone. He's got his own apartment. Definitely had some Spider-Man PS4 vibes by that. And I'm really excited to see what's in his future. I mean, I do believe that he can probably become my favorite Spider-Man out of the three. Just over time, though, he's just going to grow on me. I really like him, though. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he's terrible. I love Tom Holland. And I definitely love that new suit.
Yeah, it's because see, the way I judge performances is like, you know, Tobey Maguire is my favorite too, but I also have to remember that, you know, it's more of a nostalgic thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, so he means something different to me. With Tom Holland, he's the newest one. When he first was introduced as Spider-Man, I was already 25, 26 years old. So it doesn't, he doesn't mean as much to me as Tobey Maguire does, but over time, but I think because of this movie and just looking at what he's had to deal with and the fact that it does hit home in those ways, I certainly have a much greater appreciation for his, you know what I'm saying, for his portrayal and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Damn, we've been recording for like 2 hours.
Yeah. But like, as far as like the performance, as far as like the performances and everything, I think Tom Holland is doing a great job at it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's just my thought on it.
But yeah, I'm excited for his future. I did like the two after scene credits, and I love the costume. I love that final swing. And that is the reason why Spider-Man No Way Home is my number one.
Yep.
We're just gonna cut it off here because, you know, it's been 2 hours.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the other topics in another video. I mean, the next episode. Thank you guys for listening. We hope y'all are safe out there. Don't get corona like me and JC. Anything y'all wanna say? Anything to send us off? Any last minute suggestions?
First of all, I just want to say thank you to you guys for, you know what I'm saying, for including me on this, because, you know, this is the type of stuff that I like to talk about. Like, when it comes to like movies and music and stuff, like the biggest thing about those things is that, you know, it's all about escapism for me, and it's not, you know, it's not that my actual life is like terrible or dreadful or anything. It's just that, you know, this is the stuff that I've always loved to talk about. I love stretching my imagination. I've always enjoyed that, and comic books have been like one of the ways in which I've been able to just let my mind just, you know what I'm saying, just do that. But shout out to the both of y'all for having me on here. I definitely enjoyed it.
We enjoyed it too. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
And definitely next time. Yeah, we can do this in person.
Yeah.
I look forward to that one.
Yeah, and also to anybody who listens to this or whatever, you know, I gotta do my plug. The name is Dizzy Wallace, DIZZEE Wallace, and I have music on all streaming platforms. So if y'all want to go check that out, y'all most definitely can do that. Y'all can find me everywhere: YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, all of that stuff. So I just had to plug that real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed this.
We enjoyed it too.
All right,
Jay,
man.
Got anything? No, I JC, mean, you sent us off, man. You sent us off. End the episode.
End us off. First, before we end us off, make sure you look at our YouTube channel. You know, we're doing YouTube videos.
Well, make sure. We don't got them yet. We haven't posted them yet, remember?
Yeah, but we're working on it. That's all.
Yeah, we work.
So, yeah, just whenever we upload, we'll let y'all know. You know, we got a lot of things, you know, a lot of ideas we're thinking of. So, yeah. I mean, I have fun, man. I mean, we all have fun here, so. Yeah. I'm not gonna say it. You go ahead and say it.
I told you to send us. All right, whatever. All right, guys. Thanks for watching. Y'all have a good one.